The reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day your daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight to say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't go get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless modesty, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock the door and will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or he asks for an egg and will give you a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit of those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Ian Miller. I'm one of the associate vicars here at St. Mary's, and I am going to be preaching now. But before I do that, let's have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Please be with us now by your Holy Spirit, working in our hearts, helping us to hear what you want us to hear. Amen. Well, we've had two readings from the Bible which have spoken about prayer. And my question is this morning, why pray? Why pray for ourselves? Why pray for our town and our civic life? Well, now, on this slide here, we have a series of activities on the left-hand side and percentages up on the top right-hand corner. And the percentages indicate the percentage of people who engage in those activities in the UK, with the exception of voted in the 2025 general elections. That's a turnout figure, local elections. So, which percentage belongs to which? The percentage of people in the UK who have tried ice baths. What do you think that is? I think it's pretty obviously 12, isn't it? Yes, it is 12. It is. Actually, this was a bit of a Marmite thing. It turns out that 64% of the UK population would under no circumstances try an ice bath. Anyway, that's by the by. So what about going to the gym? 17, which is quite surprising. Yeah, and now some of you will know very well what the turnout and the local elections was. Again, anyone get it here? It is 35, that's right. So which leaves the number who have prayed to be 48%. Lots of people have prayed, but why? Why would we pray? Well, in our short time together, I want to look at three truths which we see in one verse from our second reading. And what I hope we'll see is that Christian prayer is an extraordinary privilege. It honours God and is good for us, and it brings peace. And the verse I'm going to focus on is this verse, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, prayer is a privilege. The more responsibility a person has, and the more senior they are, generally, the more difficult it is to get a meeting with them. And most of us would find it hard, if not impossible, to get a meeting with our prime minister or our king. Unlike human leaders, this verse, verse 6, tells us that we can access the creator of the universe in any situation. And that is an amazing privilege. This verse in the Bible speaks about praying to God when we're anxious. And research shows most of us experience anxiety. Now, anxiety covers a large spectrum. It ranges from minor anxiety to anxiety which is so severe that it prevents us from functioning in everyday life and requires clinical intervention. And the Bible here says, in every situation, pray to God. And that's very striking. Firstly, it means that God is present with us in every situation. He is present with each of us, whatever we are going through. And that means we are never alone. Secondly, if the Bible says we can pray to God in every situation, it means each one of us matters to God. We're not told, don't trouble God except with the really big and important stuff. Instead, God says, in every situation. Why? Well, because you matter to God. When my youngest daughter comes to me with a maths problem, I don't say to her, don't bother me with such trivia. I love her. She matters to me. And so I do what I can to help. It may not be very much, but I do what I can. But the God we meet in the Bible is not distant. He came into the world in the person of his son. And when we read about Jesus in the Bible, well, we see someone who gets alongside people, who relates to people, who cares for them in their greatest needs. The Bible tells us that if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we become God's children. God becomes our loving Father. And with God as our Father, we can pray to him about everything. When I worked as a barrister, I would almost always pray in the courtroom as the judge walked in. The clerk would say, court stand. You know, I can think of the tones now. Court stand, a great voice. And then that rush of adrenaline and nerves. And I would pray, not out loud. So I'd have got some funny looks if I'd done that. But I'd pray silently. In fact, I'd often pray in the courtroom during the process of a case. Now, we can pray when we're about to get to our feet in the council to address the chamber, when we're facing something at work, when we don't know how we're going to cope with the kids today, when we're struggling in a relationship, when we're facing exams, when we wake up and we face yet another day of illness. We can even pray, actually, for a parking space so that we can get to that appointment on time. Prayer is a privilege. Secondly, prayer honours God and is good for us. We're invited here to pray with thanksgiving. And giving thanks to God is such an important aspect of prayer. Sometimes you encounter the view that prayer is like a wish list which a child leaves in a fireplace for Father Christmas. And of course, we make requests to God. That's an important part of prayer. But there's more to prayer than that. And one aspect of prayer is honouring God, giving him the thanksgiving he is due for who he is and for what he has done. The International Atomic Clock sets the global time standard. And devices like computers and smartphones and watches need to check into the atomic clock to make sure that they are in keeping with it. Well, like the clocks on computers, we're prone to stop centering our lives on God. And prayer is like that process of checking in and recentering. We give God the honor he deserves, and as we do that, well, we recalibrate and we recenter our lives on him. But prayers of thanksgiving not only give God the honor he is due, in his grace, God knows that they are good for us. You see, prayers of thanksgiving replace our negative, anxious thoughts with positive thoughts about who God is and what he has done. There's a very useful video on the NHS website about how to reframe unhelpful thoughts. And it describes taking a negative thought, which is making us anxious, and replacing it with something positive. And the mantra is, as you can see on the slide, catch it, check it, and change it. Well, now prayers of thanksgiving honour God, but they also reframe our negative, anxious thoughts with positive thoughts. Well, you might well ask, what is it that we're to give thanks to God for? And the answer is that it is the same things which Paul encouraged believers in Jesus to rejoice in at the beginning of our reading. Whatever our circumstances, Christians always have things to rejoice in and be thankful for. Well, like what, you might ask? Well, firstly, who God is. If we want to know what God is like, well, then we look at Jesus. And when you read the accounts of Jesus' life, you see someone filled with love and compassion. You see it in the way he interacts with the poor, with the vulnerable, with people who are outcast in society, and even people who have done wrong. And you also see someone who redefines greatness in terms not of power over people, but service of people and sacrifice for people. Those things didn't characterize the ancient world in which Jesus was born. He changed all of that. It is the love, compassion, service, and sacrifice of Jesus which inspired Christians to establish the first hospitals and welfare systems. So when we're invited to pray with thanksgiving, we're being invited to give thanks to God for who he is, his love, his compassion, service, and sacrifice. That is the God we can rejoice in and give thanks for in every situation. But we give thanks not just for who he is, but for what he has done. Jesus didn't just come to earth to live a good life, although he did do that. He came to earth to die on a cross. And the cross was a cruel means of execution which the Romans devised for slaves and criminals. And although he is the God of the universe, Jesus came down to earth to die a slave's death in service of people like you and me. And although he is good and perfect in every way, Jesus came down to earth to die a criminal's death in place of people like you and me. And he did it to take the judgment we deserve for refusing in our hearts and lives to honor him as God. He did it so that we could be forgiven, adopted into God's family, receive God's Holy Spirit into our lives, and live eternally. And that means if we're trusting in Jesus, our past has been dealt with, he's with us in the present, and our future with him is secure. Now, when I get anxious, I know that my muscles start tensing, the sleepless nights begin. And the thing that makes me anxious takes on bigger and bigger proportions. And correspondingly, God becomes smaller in my mind. But do you see that what God in his grace invites us to do? Do you see what he invites us to do? He says, trust in Jesus. Come and pray to me in every situation and do it with thanksgiving. Because once you start giving thanks for who I am and what I've done for you, you will see your anxieties in a very different perspective. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer honors God and is good for us. And finally, prayer leads to peace. Do you ever find yourself struggling in life and everything seems like it is against you? You know, if you watch a rock in a stormy sea, you see it getting a real thumping from a massive wave. It becomes completely submerged, emerges again, only to take a pounding from another wave. Well, the Apostle Paul was the human author of our reading, and he probably felt a bit like that rock. And he writes this letter from prison. He's in prison, in an awful ancient prison, facing opposition, and he didn't know whether he would come out of it alive. And at the beginning of our reading, he writes, rejoice. He writes from prison, rejoice. And then he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and your minds in Christ Jesus. They're beautiful words, aren't they? But how do you rejoice and know peace when you're facing what Paul was facing? See, Paul's joy and peace didn't depend on his circumstances, but on his relationship with God. Paul derived his joy from who God is and what he has done for him. And Paul's peace came from praying his requests to God with thanksgiving. A peace which is beyond our ability to understand. A peace which isn't dependent on our circumstances. Do you long for that peace? Do you long for that peace? A man called Augustine longed for that peace, and he lived in the 4th century. And he didn't start out as a Christian. And the story of his conversion is a remarkable one. He struggled with restlessness and he longed for peace. And he wrote this, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Do you struggle with restlessness and anxiety? Do you long for peace? Well, Christians know that we can bring our requests to God with thanksgiving, whatever our situations, and he will give us that peace. He won't necessarily answer our prayers in ways we would expect, and he won't necessarily take away the things we would like him to take away, but he will give us peace. And what would the impact be on our civic life and community if more of us experienced that joy and that peace? Paul was writing this letter to people who were struggling to get on with each other. And he knew that joy and peace matter if we're going to relate to each other well. He knew that joy and peace matter if we're going to work together. He knew that joy and peace enable us to handle better the things which divide us. So as we conclude, let's return to our opening question. Why pray? You've seen three powerful reasons. First, prayer is a privilege. Through prayer, we can access the creator of the universe in any situation. Secondly, prayer honors God and it's good for us. We're invited to pray with thanksgiving. And that matters because God deserves our honor. But God also arranges it so that giving thanks to him is good for us. It recenters us on him. It reframes negative thoughts with positive thoughts about him. And if we trust in Christ, we always have something to rejoice about. Our past has been dealt with. He's with us in the present, and our future is secure. And that puts our anxieties into perspective. And finally, prayer leads to peace. Peace which each of us long for and which is not dependent on our circumstances. A peace which is good for us and is good for our community. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for who you are and for dying on that cross for our sin. Help us to trust in you and give us your peace. Amen.